Okay, so what I want to talk about today is the sugya of what is the rights of a tenant or a renter when it comes to bar mitzvah. Okay, so there are at least four basic cases, which end up being many, many different cases. And it's broken down, it's very interesting, you know, how it's broken down exactly in the Shulchan Aruch and the Halacha. It's about four basic cases of where this would come in. Okay, so what let's start with the Gemara, because we have to start with the Gemara. You can't do anything with the Gemara. So the Gemara talks about something that's called the Mashkanta. It's on line, page 2 of the booklet, Amud Beis, Kuf Chasam Beis, line 12. So there's something called a mashkanta. If there's not here, the book is in the closet, on the top shelf there. So the mashkanta is some sort of collateral, but it's not quite a collateral. Mashkanta is some sort of collateral that the person actually takes possession of. Okay. Is there something like a mashkanta in today's business?
It's a line of credit.
Mashkanta is where the malva, the lender, actually gives property. He's holding, he takes possession of the property.
And now they're taking possession of the property.
It's just a lien.
No, you take a line of credit, you get a letter of credit from the bank. It's having cash in the bank. So you pay a certain amount for a $10 million bond, it'll be $1,000 a year, whatever it is. But then they just take, literally taking cash. It's easier than even taking the mashkanta.
So in those days, I don't know exactly what the arrangement was, but the malva, the guy that lent the money, actually would take, in some cases, something. Possession right. Of the property of the loiva. But he would take the property and he would live in the property. And he would almost live on the property rent-free. So it's a big question in terms of ribis. Why is it not interest? But let's leave that aside for right now. So the Gemara says, what happens if the malve then wants to go ahead and sell the property? The lender wants to sell the property. Assuming he sold the property, some of the money will go to pay back the debt, whatever. He wants to sell the property. The guy who's taking possession of the property wants to buy it because he's already living there. So does he have any rights to the property as because of the fact that he's living there? He has taken possession of the property, or he has no rights to it because he's not the neighbor and doesn't really own any property nearby. Happens to be that right now he's living on it as a creditor, basically.
That's like a super neighbor.
Yeah. So it's line 12 in the Gemara. It says Mashkanta less be mishumdina de bar mitzvah. Mashkoin is exempt from Dina de Bar Mitzvah. The Amar Rav Ashi, Amruli Saba de Masa Mechasya. Rav Ashi actually says in the name of the elders of Saba of Masa Mechasya, my Mashkanta de Shchuna Gabe. Mashkanta means it's Shchuna Gabe. It's his. He's like a neighbor there. So he's allowed to, he's like a Shochin. That's the Lotsh of Mashkanta. Mashkanta is that we consider him as a Shochin. We consider him as a neighbor on the property. Okay? My nafkamina, ladina de bar metra. So says the Gemara that a mashkanta, because he's living and took possession of the property, he's not subject to anyone else's dina de bar metra, and therefore he can buy the property. The question now becomes, how far is his rights? So we're saying he's not subject to dina de bar metra. But does that mean that he is now also a matron or not? So let me explain. We're gonna go to the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch brings this down in Sif Nun Zayin. Now there's different booklets. This one's different, but the rest of the booklets, Sif Nun Zayin, is on page 95. Page 95 in the booklet. In this one, it's not going to be in page 95, but you'll find it. Sif Nun Zayin. So it says like this. So someone gave a mashkoin, a property, so right? And he's living there. The matron Okay, so let's go on a during the Torah. I'm going to go back this way. Shulchan Aruch, and you have to sif nun zayin a little further. So you have Reuven and Shimon. Shimon owns the property, but Reuven's living on it. Shimon wants to sell. Now Levi lives next door. So who does he sell to? Levi, because he lives next door. Does he sell to Reuven, because Reuven's actually living on the property right now? So the Shulchan Aruch says that if Reuven buys it, Levi cannot kick him off. Levi cannot use his matzron rights to kick him off. Okay? Levi can't use his matzron rights to kick him off. So, but it's mashma. But it's mashma from the Shulchan Aruch that even though Levi, who's the matzron, cannot kick him off, but it doesn't either say that Reuven has precedence. In other words, what about if Levi bought it? Could Reuven kick off Levi? In other words, how strong is Reuven's right? So the Ramah says v'yeshem dafil kodam amatzron v'knaa yochel amalva l'salpe. So the Ramah gives extra rights to the person taking possession of the property, and he says he's even stronger than the neighbor. Even if the neighbor would buy it at that point, the Reuven who's taken possession of the property can actually kick out the neighbor. So he's even stronger. He's like a matron, you know.
It's already in possession.
What?
He's a matron that's already.
He's already matron that's already in possession. He's like a shutif.
What about possible some ownership on the house itself?
Okay, but this is going to be the source for that shiloh. Right. This is the first question. Is the fact that
that's the one that's behind why it works. Because not only is he a matron, like he said, he already has rights in the house.
He's matron. He's a matron. He's a neighbor. He's living on the property. And he has some sort of monetary rights to the property. Because he...
Ownership is rights. Like a tenant?
He's more than a tenant. Because if the guy doesn't pay, he can keep the property.
He's a matron.
So he has already some monetary he's a lien holder on the property, and he's taken possession of it. Now the guy wants to sell, he comes first. To the point that he comes before even the neighbors, according to the Ramah. The Machabra says he doesn't come before the neighbors, but if he buys it before the neighbor can't kick him out. So he's equal to the neighbor.
It's because he's living there?
Yeah. It's because he's living there.
Well, what about being a lien holder?
The lien holder without living there would not have given him this right.
How about being a
tenant?
That's going to be a tenant. That's why I'm getting there.
Oh, I see.
So that a lien holder without living there is nothing. Living there without being a lien holder is going to be a tenant, basically. And that's going to be the bridge over into being a tenant. That's why we're starting with this. Okay. Now, by the way, just for the fun of it, because it's kishmak, is let's go back to the Gemara just to be medayik Rashi. Which way does Rashi go? So if you look at Rashi, Mashkanta, Immachro Lamimishum Mishkanta, so less Bemishumdina de Barmetra, says Rashi, Shezesh Shachin, because this guy is a Shachin Matron Mikulon, Shekula Shunagabe. He's a Matron Mikulon, he's a stronger Matron than all of them. So the Gra is Medaik from this Rashi, like the Ramah. They're not just that. You know, he doesn't have to worry about the matzron. The pshat is that he is himself a matzron. He himself is a matzron, and therefore
the kula,
and therefore we take his position, and his position is stronger.
Because, for example, 38 lien holder, you're not the owner of the property. Like in other states, in other places, you're actually the lender. It's the owner of the property until the person pays back the whole. So how it works here?
I don't think that matters for this purpose. Because
when you're saying different states have different ways of calling a mortgage, here we call it a mortgage, which means a bank has a lien.
Right.
In a lot of states, you actually give the mortgage a deed of trust, so they actually own the property. They're letting you stay in your own property.
Right.
Deed of trust. Deed of trust state.
Right.
But here they used to own the property or just a house?
No, it's just a lien. It's a lien, but it's a unique okay.
But
I don't.
But it's also they're in possession.
They're in possession, so it's a very different type of arrangement.
How
Huh? They're living on the property.
Of course, yeah. They're actually
they're living on the property, so it's a little bit of a different case. Okay.
It's not Bank of America, it's a mom and pop lender that just happens to
right. living there. Right. Now I think that I want to get to now is tenants, because this case is not so shriach. So what about a tenant? So the most common question that people have when it comes to is a tenant of bar matzron is when a person is living in the house, he's renting the house, and the house goes up for sale.
Right. And he wants to buy it.
And he wants to buy it. That's obviously the most common application, most common question. And does he have any rights, A, over anybody else, B, over the neighbor? Meaning, who does he have any rights to this property at all, just because he's living in it? So if you look at the very last page of the booklet, in the regular ones, in Madur, it's Sif Samech Aleph. Okay, so the first case that the Shulchan Aruch brings, actually, let's just go to Samech Beis. Let's just go to Sif Samech Beis. So Sif Samech Beis talks about, it's the very last page of the booklet, he talks about this case explicitly. Okay, he says, "Hiskir beisoy la'echad ve'achar kach machraloy." So you rented out that property to someone, and then you sold it to him. So this case, the tenant is buying the property. Okay, so if the tenant buys the property, ein ben ameitzar yochal lohitzi miyadoy. The matzron, the neighbor, cannot remove him from the property. Can't kick him out of the property. So that means we are giving the neighbor. We're giving the tenant
more than the neighbor
some level of priority, that if he would buy the property, if he would buy the property, the neighbor, the matzah, cannot kick him out. But we still haven't discussed what happens if the neighbor buys it. Does he have rights over the neighbor? So Sif Samach Gimel, the very last page in the booklet, the last Shulchan Aruch here, Hiskir Beisoy Le'echad. You rented your house to somebody, and you sold it to someone that's not even the neighbor. So the Ramah, the Mechaber, again, puts him at a middle level. He says he himself, the neighbor, the tenant, can buy the property. And if he buys the property, we respect that, and we don't tell him to leave in favor of the neighbor. But on the other hand, since he's not really a neighbor and he's not a matzron, no one else has to respect his position. And therefore, even if an outsider would buy it, we wouldn't give it back. We wouldn't take it away from the buyer and give it to the neighbor and give it to the tenant. So it's like an in-between. It's very similar to mashkanta. It's an in-between level where we understand from his perspective that he doesn't have to respect the neighbors and he's allowed to try to buy the house. But if anyone else buys the house, they don't have to worry about the fact that there's a tenant in there. That's the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the question is, does everyone agree to that Shulchan Aruch? The Sma says here that the Ramah, the same way he argued by Mashkoin, would argue here. And the and he would say that no, a tenant, the status of a tenant is that he is a matron. He is considered the neighbor. Not only that, he's considered a stronger neighbor than anybody else. And even if someone else would buy it, we would go ahead and try to give it to the tenant.
If the whole thing is a sisa hayashav yatov, he's already got all stuff moved in there.
What?
The whole thing is a sisa yashav yatov. He's already there already. He's even more a sisa yashav yatov. Hey, you're going to have to evict him. He's got all the stuff in there.
I get that, but you know,
who's more easy to
right now? This is okay. So now we have not everyone agrees to the Sma that the Ramah would argue here. The Pesach Tshuva has all arichas here, and not everyone would agree to the Ramah. So, but if we go with the Sma for a moment, what would come out is that the Ramah's paskening, for Ashkenazim, that we give it to the tenant, hands down. The Mechaber is paskening that whoever buys it, and if it's the tenant, he buys it, if it's anyone else, they buy it. But we do give the tenant the right to buy it before the neighbor, if he gets there first. So this is, by the way, a big nafkamina of the fact that the din of Bar Matzra is on the buyer, is on the buyer, not on the seller. Because now what happens if the buyer is a Sephardi? and the tenant is Ashkenazi. So he would have no right. But if the buyer is Ashkenazi and the tenant, right? So now if the buyer is Ashkenazi, and if the seller is Sephardi, you would have to give it back. So, you know, so bottom line is Lemaisa, what it seems like is that the Yashiva Toiv is that the seller, if all things are equal,
should offer it
for the tenant.
It's never the seller's responsibility.
Correct. So that means, but it's correct. It's not. So like forget the seller. Right. No, he's right. It's generally not on the seller. But if all things are equal, both people are coming forward, who should the Beis Din award it to? Is if all things equal, they should award it to the tenant. But after the fact, and now the tenant wants to get a hold of the property, he's going to have a hard time winning that case in Beis Din.
Oh, after the guy
bought it. Someone else bought it. Someone else got the contract.
He's still living there. They're coming out to evict him, and he's saying, oh, if I would have known this was for sale, I would have bought it.
That's too late.
He's in possession. They're literally going to kick him out.
So he never even had the opportunity to exercise his
right.
But that's the whole thing. So since he's not a full neighbor.
Right. If the seller was doing a really nice guy, he would have gone to the tenant first, said, I'm going to sell the property for this price. Do you want to buy it?
Because he'll save the commission. He already knows if someone has an interest
in
it.
Right.
Okay. So then that'll be a good way to do it.
But no one would ever buy a property with tenants in it if there's some side of it.
That's a very good point.
Right.
Most people are buying commercial properties. And by the way, it's very, very common in today's real estate when you become a tenant, you have a right of first refusal on a purchase.
Really?
Every major tenant in the world, every triple net, Burger King, every commercial tenant that's special, when they move in, they have a right of first refusal and it's recorded.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we're saying. That's Mamish Basar here. So that means that a tenant does have the right to try to buy the property first, even against the neighbor,
right.
Even according to the Mechaber.
And it's usually
he has a right to buy it against the neighbor.
And it's now,
right. Now, the next common case is it's an offshoot of the Sif before. Turn the page back one page. Is Shnayim Shesachru Sadeh. So here you have a case where you have roommates. Okay, a couple of single guys renting an apartment together, one of them leaves. So two guys renting an apartment together, one of them leaves. So he has to now bring in a new tenant to take over his portion. So then even the Mechaber, everyone agrees that the other roommate can take the whole thing.
Can he give it to his friend?
Probably.
Yeah.
Says the Taz. The Taz brings in another case. Okay. And this is very interesting. I mean, it's I don't know what to make of it. What happens at the end of your lease? Are you a bar mitzvah to continue the lease? So you signed the lease from January to January. Come now January 2023. And you're up for renewal.
Right. So again, most commercial leases today also
commercial, but let's say
even residential, they always have a built-in right and option to continue for 5 years, 10 years.
Okay, so but not a regular residential.
Sure,
right?
Is.
What?
I mean, if you
I'm saying without a lease. Yeah. So what's the halacha say over here? So the Taz brings down that the current tenant here, everyone agrees. That the current tenant is a bar mitzvah against anyone else who wants to go lease the property. Okay. But that being said,
not against the buyer.
What? Well, we're not talking about buying. Now we're talking about rent versus rent. Okay. We're talking about lease to lease. So is the guy that's there at the end of his lease to renew, does he have any kedima? Does he have any rights over anyone else that wants to come and lease the property? So the Taz says yes. But the Pesachuba brings from the Ketzos. The Ketzos HaChoshen says, but we have to stick with the regular principle, which is we don't do this to the detriment of the seller. And therefore, if the landlord is not interested in these people, because all of a sudden someone else, these people are a family of kids, and I don't know what they're doing to my house, but I have another, a retired, single, retired old lady wants to come and move down to Florida and take the apartment. So I'd much rather sell it to her, rent, lease it to her. It sounds like the Ketzos is saying that we would allow him to not renew the lease with the current tenant and put in the tenant that he prefers. Because even though it's bar mitzvah, but bar mitzvah is not to the detriment of the seller. Okay, so lemaisa he does paskin like that halach lemaisa. Okay, so that's interesting. So that's another application.
It's the same thing in a commercial setting. You've got a tenant, and the tenant never pays rent.
So if
you want to get rid of him,
You have the right to get rid of him. You're not locked in.
Right, so you're not locked in. Yeah. So it's not Yashua Tov. It's more Yashua Tov for the owner of the property to not get lose rid of these people. Right.
Does a person who signs a lease also have an option to buy?
So he would have an option to buy. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
The priority of family supersedes that, right?
To lease it to one's family?
No. You have a tenant in there.
And you want to sell it to a family sell it to your member. Brother.
You want to sell it
to a family member or give it to a family member?
Giving it, yes. But selling it, I'm not sure.
Oh, really? Family member of the owner.
Not sure. That supersedes the neighbor.
Because why are there any more rights than any other neighbor?
It doesn't necessarily supersede the neighbor.
Unless it's a family. The family is a family home.
Right. Unless there's a specific reason why they need that property. Yeah. Like it has some sentimental value. But otherwise, not necessarily. Now, two other cases I wanna discuss. So again, there's a lot of details on this. I'm just trying to give a little bit of the background. So we talked about continuing to lease to lease, and lease to buy. What about the other? There's two opposite cases now. They're a little complicated, but okay. The third case is, what is the schus of the matron to rent out? So we're talking about the schus of bar mitzvah of a tenant. So till now, we're talking about the tenant in the house that he's in. The tenant in the house that he's in to buy it, or the tenant in the house that he's in to rent it, to continue renting it. What about if he's a renter, okay, and the house next door to him goes for sale? Is he considered any sort of matron on the house next door to buy the house next door because he's living next door right now? Okay, now it's a little strange because what's he going to do there? He's going to buy it, but we said it's not just about buying it. If you're going to buy it and move there and give up your lease, so then you're not a matzrin then, because there's no advantage to you to buy this house more than any other house. It must be that you have like a 5-year lease and you want to buy this because for the next 5 years, you'll use both. Otherwise, the case doesn't really work. It doesn't make sense. So probably not so common. Maybe in a commercial setting, it's more common. But in a residential sense, I don't really see where it's so shyach the case. But
a person used to a certain block.
Yeah, but that's not Dina de Marmetra. Dina de Marmetra is because you want to expand the house, not because you want to live here more. A lot of people like that block. I mean, there's no. The advantage has to be that you're going to use both. So let's say you're currently leasing this one. You're going to buy that one, and you're going to stay in this one for 5 years. But this way, you'll have that extra house for whatever it is that you would want to have it for. You know, you want to put your guests there. You want to put your whatever. You want to have more space.
And then in five years, you'll be a bar mitzvah because you're living next door.
Right. And then you'll live next door, and then you'll try to buy this one. Right. Exactly. So now you're already playing the cards. So what's the status of a tenant, legabi, the house next door to him? Right. Till now we were talking about the tenant in the own house that he's in. Does he have the rights to buy the house that he's in and continue to rent the house that he's in? What about a tenant to buy the house next door? So this is a machleik between the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam says he has no preference whatsoever because he's just there temporarily. So being there temporarily doesn't give you a right to bounce out anybody else permanently. But the Ramah passing is like the Rosh, that there is bar mitzvah, which would mean, what does that mean, that there's bar mitzvah? That means that if he buys it, the neighbor cannot knock him out. So that's very interesting, right? You have three houses. You have a tenant, Reuven's a tenant, Shimon is selling, and Levi lives next door. If the tenant buys it, he would actually, according to the Ramah, be able to help keep the house against the neighbor. What? Oh, the landlord of his own house is also a bar mitzvah. What if he goes up against his landlord on the house next door? Yeah, it's gonna be I don't know, but he'll probably raise the rent.
You mentioned something a couple weeks ago about when you have a house next door, you care who's living there. So one of the things is who you could rent it to, so you know who your neighbors are.
Okay.
So that benefit he still has.
So that there's a certain benefit to that as well. That's correct. So there's a reason why as a tenant. But again, it's hard to imagine the guy has a 1-year lease and then he's investing, you know, money to buy the house next door. So let you know, it's like
to work on the house next door, so he's convenient to rent
them. Right.
He's living next door.
Right. So can somehow there's some sort of convenience there. Okay, so that's Machlokes Mechaber in the Ramah, and that's in Sifsamach. One last case is, again, we're talking about a tenant and his rights on the house next door. Okay? So this is the fourth case now. So we talked about the tenant to buy the house he's in. Case number one, the tenant to rent the house that he's in. Case number two. Then we talked about the tenant to buy the house next door. That's case number three. Case number four, the tenant to rent the house next door. Okay, so now it's a question of rentals. We never discussed this. If the house goes up for rent, is there any din of the bar mitzvah on that? Right? Reuven and Shimon Levi live on a block. Shimon now moves, but he doesn't sell the house. Shimon now puts a tenant in the house. Do the neighbors have a right to try to rent the house? Is there a bar mitzvah on that? Or do you say bar mitzvah is only when it's for sale and we don't want, and you have an opportunity to buy something that's unique. But if it's only up for rent, it's such a short-term zechus that maybe we don't offer that zechus to the neighbor. Or no, maybe you as a neighbor have a right to rent out the property first, and you have the right to first refusal on the house next door as far as the tenancy is concerned as well. And the halacha is you do. Again, but it has to work under the clause. Obviously, you're not going to be putting the houses together, obviously. But
the neighbors do have that.
Yeah, but again, you have to be using it in a way that is consistent with the rules of our mitzvah, which we explained last
week. And the tenant is the one that's responsible for checking with the neighbors?
So I guess anyone coming in to rent,
not the landlord.
Yeah, so this would be a little weird. You're saying like he's going to start asking around, like how does he know? I don't know. Now, what happens if? So now, what happens if you have Reuven is renting, Shimon now puts his house up for rent, and Levi owns the house next door. Now, does Reuven as a tenant of the house? Reuven, does he have a right as a tenant to rent the house next door to him? Case number four, right? So now Reuven is a tenant. Does he have a right to rent the house next door? So here the Taz says he has as much right as a regular matzah. Why? Because as far as the rental is concerned, he's no different than the owner next door because it's anyway a law of short-term schus. In that term, short-term schus, he's as much of a neighbor as the guy who owns the property. So according to the Ramah, here, the tenant would actually have a lot more schus than he has in the previous case. So if Reuven is renting and the house next door to him goes for rent, he actually does have a schus according to the Ramah to go ahead and try to rent the property. And if he would get it, we would actually, it could be even if someone else would get it before him, we would actually try to get it back to him.
Most commercial deals today, if you're a flush of a tenant, if anything gets rented out contiguous to you, you have right of first refusal.
On the rent, on the tenancy.
Yeah.
Right, so that makes a lot of sense because
every big tenant does.
Because you want to be able to expand your operation, technically. Right. So even though you're not buying it, you would still maintain that schus. So I thought it was an interesting case where we started off just to chazer over. It's just to chazer over. So the first case in the Gemara doesn't talk about rentals. There's no Gemara about it, but the Gemara talks about the case of the Mashkin, which is the lien that you've taken possession of, and we say that as having a property that you've taken possession of, you have the rights to that. You have the rights to that. To buy it, as far as renters are concerned, like we said, there's four cases in the Shulchan Aruch. There are the Mechaber in all the cases is much more lenient, gives much less schus to the tenant. The Ramah gives more. And the four cases are, as a tenant in the house that you're in, do you have a right to buy the house that you're in? So technically, everyone agrees you have a right, but maybe the Ramah's rights are stronger. He says that even if someone else would buy it, maybe he would give it to you. Okay, so you have a right to buy it. Then what about to continue renting the house that you're in? Also seems like you have a right. And then we talked about, as a tenant, to buy the house next door or to rent the house next door. Also, the Mechaber says absolutely no schus whatsoever. The Ramah says you do have a schus, but in the case where you want to, as a tenant, rent the house next door, you have a stronger schus because it's parallel to the amount of ownership that you have. Okay, so we'll stop here to stop early this week. Next week is Hanukkah. We're not going to have it's off. We're not going to have shir. The following week, we're having a program. It's January 1st. Sunday's the January 1st, I think. So it's first and second. We're going to have a program about Beis Din and bringing Dayanim from out of town. It should be very, very chashuv program. That's the first and the second. And then after that, so I guess the third week from there, we're going to be continuing the topic of real estate. We'll see. Maybe we have to tie up some loose ends on Bar Mitzvah, or we'll start the next topic.
Oh, that's your legal holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Shkoyach, everybody.
I got my cookie on that. Oh.